ongoing change is our nature. Really, ongoing change is not quite the best way to say it, but if we say non-permanence is our nature, impermanence is our nature. Even that, though, this is one of the three marks of existence of the basic teaching of the Buddha, the basic expression of Buddha's awakening, our awakened life. When we say not permanent, we also expose the human tendency, human, born into us as being human, not just humans, but many beings, the tendency to expect some form of permanence. In fact, we consider that intelligence. Humans, hominids in many forms, many other beings, whether it's elephants or chimps or dolphins or all sorts of beings, cephalopods, all sorts of beings, birds, all sorts of beings. Those are ones that we can determine, but we could say even more, all sorts of beings have built into being, being, if I say it that way, being who they are, built into our DNA nature is an expectation or an ability to develop the expectation of some form of permanence. Otherwise, an animal could not get up in the morning and go looking for certain foods, trails, directions. Now you could say they don't know this, they don't expect it, it's inherited instinct. That doesn't make a difference. That's humans thinking about and trying to break up and set up categories and hierarchies. Nevertheless, this not permanent, that's Nietzsche, not permanent, is our life. Nothing lasts, if we say it that way. Or if we quote some of the sutra, all formations are impermanent. All is impermanent. Visual objects, eye is impermanent. Things that are pleasant are impermanent. Things that are not pleasant, things that are neither pleasant nor unpleasant, all are without permanence. And of course, another side of this is without self, which is what we build on this. And yet, we say impermanence is Buddha nature, is one way that Dogen Zenji attributes this, attributing this to quote to the sixth ancestor, speaks of it. And our tendency and desire for permanence, one, makes us able to function in the world, but and leads to unsatisfactoriness, suffering, and all sorts of harmful actions and entanglements. Not because there's something wrong with this habit and expectation, but because at some point reality frustrates it. And when reality frustrates, it leads to us suffering. When our mental entanglements frustrate, we are frustrated. We are in pain. Nothing wrong with being frustrated. Nothing wrong with being in pain. Nothing wrong with grieving. Yet, it's one of the aspects and functionings of living, which causes us to do harmful things to ourselves or others, to suffer in our holding to anger or sadness. Nothing wrong with sadness, grieving. Please don't misunderstand this aspect of our practice. One successor of Hakuin Zenji, this was a woman whose awakening and manifesting this was deep and much admired, had a granddaughter that died, and she was grieving. Someone came to her and said, "You're an awakened successor of Hakuin. How come you're grieving when your granddaughter dies? You're supposed to be beyond this." And she says, "You fool. This, when my granddaughter dies, is exactly what's called for, grieving. Exactly the expression of being human." And yet, though I could say equanimity is not holding on to our storylines of past self, future, present self, future self, at the same time, in the midst of a ball tossed on rushing water, being this non-stop flowing that is our life, our life is the non-stop flowing of grieving when that's so. Of course, this grieving is impermanent, except it's not fixed, it's ongoing change. Otherwise, it becomes a self-centered attachment that causes unsatisfactoriness and worse. The Bodhi mind, Buddha nature, Buddha nature wisdom, is not to hold on to some ideas, but even more, to be able to be not caught to the desires that naturally arise of for all sorts of constancy and for all sorts of self-aggrandizement. Dogen quotes the master Nagarjuna, who speaks of seeing the impermanence of this world of appearance and disappearance as Bodhi mind. Because if we can be and see this, then we can be and see this moment rather than holding to the arising egocentric, self-centered, rather than even having the self-centeredness arise in being this moment. Living this means living all sorts of states that our life brings forth as this ongoing change, all sorts of physical, mental states, whether with so-called self or so-called others, in this life of non-self. In this life of being flowing, no problems with any physical, mental states, no problems with any so-called pleasant, so-called unpleasant. But knowing that this is the way it is, then we can be this moment as it is in all the myriad forms that our life offers, and being the myriad forms of this moment, we can do and manifest this bodhisattva life that we are. Do and manifest exactly what's called for, exactly what we are. Then we can serve so-called ourself, so-called others, serve this whole universe with the energies, with the attention, which with all the abilities that our life offers us as they are offered right now, not in some idealized, dreamed up way, but in the way our abilities are, without being clouded, not holding to clouding that leads us to miss, rather than we can be this sky, clouds arising, clouds passing, this open sky that compassionately serves this moment, serves the life of the universe, which is exactly our life now. Please take good care of our life now, moment, moment. Please be the joyousness that is your life. Be the serving of all beings that is your life opportunity right this moment, right this breath, right this swallowing, right this sitting, right this standing up, right this greeting, right this responding. Thank you.